Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to be talking about the Kingdom of God. And we're talking about kings and rulers. And I always try to name these different programs so that people can find their way around in the hundreds and hundreds of audios that we do in the different shows that we do on different networks. And I try to stay on one theme a little bit, but everybody who knows me know I'm a real rabbit trailer, and the reason why is that gives us a lay of the land around a particular topic. And so I was searching for what am I going to call this particular topic today? So I called it Kings and Rulers. And who are supposed to be the kings and priests? We're all supposed to be kings. Kings of our own household. Exercising dominion over the families that God has bestowed upon us and in accordance with the rights that God has endowed us with. We are our fathers and mothers of our own households. That is our kingdom. That is our dominionative right as natural fathers and mothers of our families. And we are supposed to care for those families in righteousness. But somehow or other, we gather together like Cain gathered, like Lamech, like Nimrod, like Caesar Augustus, who was Octavius until he got the office of Caesar Augustus. Those are office terms. It's not his name. Darius wasn't King Darius's name. That's a title to men who move into positions of exercising authority, kata exousia, of dominion over other men, where they get to decide for other men the right and wrong of things, the good and evil of things, what those men will do and what those men will not do. They are the rulers of the world being the kamizo, the cosmos of the organized systems and constitutional orders of men. It's how men will govern themselves when they go out of the presence of God. When they're no longer ruled by God in their hearts and in their minds, they will be ruled by other men. Because there is a need to come together in the world to help one another out. There are pitfalls and crevices and cracks in the planet we live upon. You fall into a ravine, somebody's got to help you out. You're going to need somebody else. People who need people are not the luckiest people in the world. People who are there to help other people who are in need, they are the luckiest people in the world. Because they can follow the way of Christ who came to help us all. Even the Roman government. You know, some people say that the message was only for the Jews. But from the beginning, John the Baptist said it was not just for the Jews, but for anyone who would hear the message. John was saying that. You didn't have to wait for Paul to say that. John was saying that from the beginning. It's always, even back in the days of Israel, they were to be priests to all nations, not rule over them with an exercising authority, but demonstrate to them the perfect law of liberty, to live by faith, hope, and charity, tending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith in righteousness. Do Christians today do that? No. Christians have more in common with the Pharisees than they have with the early Christians. That's a bold and audacious statement. I'm sure that will upset somebody. But that's just the way it is. And I can find thousands upon thousands of people who will argue that point, but not that fact. In other words, they will say, no, that's not true. We're the true faithful. We are the believers. We have the doctrines of Christ. We have the blessings of Christ. We have saved because we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts as our personal Savior. But you're not doing what he said. So I can only conclude that you're a liar. You're in apostasy. Or you're under a strong delusion. I pray daily that you are merely under a strong delusion. Because once we shatter that delusion, you could wake up and repent and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and his righteous ways and his ways that keep the commandments and do not covet their neighbor's goods through men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. Because if you're going to do that and continue to do that, then you are not following Christ, and he does not know you, and you do not know him, and you are probably, indubitably, a worker of iniquity. And he's going to tell you to get lost. Get ye from me, because you are already lost. You are bound to the ways of the adversaries of Christ. You have chosen kings and rulers, not Christ, to be your king. You have chosen men who will exercise authority one over the other to be your benefactors. And you pray to them for your benefits at the expense of your neighbor because you covet those benefits at the expense of your neighbor. Because you desire to have your wantonness filled at the expense of your neighbor. Because your benefactor doesn't provide those benefits. The men he takes away from provides those benefits. And that is the Corban of the Pharisees, the sacrifice of the Pharisees. In the last show, we talked about the treasury that Christ was in, the royal treasury that Christ was in and instructing the ministers. That's the money for the government. And he's in the government treasury instructing the people who take care of the government treasury. He's sitting on the seats on the left side watching what is deposited and how it's deposited and explains who's giving more here. Who deserves to be helped out more here? The one who gives out of his wealth? Or the one who gives everything out of their poverty? Who should we be helping? Who should we be providing the services of the temple? Now, of course, you think the service of the temple is about burning up sheep and burning incense and smoke and mirrors of modern religion. A lot of Pharisees thought that too. But religion was how you provided for those needy of society, and that's what it was 200 years ago when religious freedom was established by your constitution, which is, you know, you should read contracts, covenants, and constitutions. Because the Bible tells you, if you decide to create a constitutional republic instead of simply a pure republic, because that's what a constitutional republic is, not a pure republic. It does grant some power and authority to your rulers. They are not just titular, as the definition of the word republic used to say in dictionaries like John Bouvier's dictionary, which is the dictionary they used to interpret the Constitution. A republic, the leaders were titular in name only. They had no power and authority to rule over the individual. But if you give them some power and authority, you need to create a constitution that is going to limit their authority. And back there, unfortunately, I wasn't there to tell George and Benjamin Franklin and the other many people who were putting together the constitution. What does the Bible say about constitutions? Because it does talk about if you're going to have a ruler who can exercise authority, that you need to include five things in your constitution. The Bible tells you this. Deuteronomy 17. Look in that area. Read the whole thing. Five things to limit your ruler. And your priests, who are taking care of the daily ministration in pure religion, which you don't know what pure religion is probably. Go read our article on pure religion. But the priests who are doing that, and that's their role, not to make you feel good about your sin, which is what most priests do today, what most ministers do. They're there to tickle your ears and make you feel good about how evil you've become, how slothful you are. They want to make you feel good about that. And there's a lot of money in that business. You know, just ask Olstein. He's making money hand over fist because people just want to have their ears just tickled. Just, you know, I got a dog out here. Didn't belong to me originally. It belonged to my daughter, and they needed a place to put it, along with their llama. But so anyway, we're taking care of all those things. But it's a good dog, you know. I mean, it eats like a horse, but it just loves to have its ears rubbed, tickled. If you're standing out there and your hand is at your side, he'll come and push his head up underneath your hand and say, rub my ears, kind of, you know. He loves that. I thought, what a modern Christian he is. He just loves to have his ears tickled. And if he could pay me to do it, he would. And he actually does, you know, when I come home, he's a bird dog supposed to fetch, but we never go bird hunting, so he runs out and gets a stick or runs and gets a ball or something, and he just holds it for me, you know, because he knows he's supposed to bring me something. He doesn't know what, but it's in his nature. But he really loves to have his ears tickled. And, you know, that's what most of these preachers are in the business of, is tickling your ears. You know, I'm not going to say that there isn't some moral lessons in some of the things they say. Of course, that's not really why you go there, for the most part. Now, me, you know, somebody was editing one of our series on symbols. And, you know, I can't remember what I say in a particular show long after it passes, but we have a short series on symbols, religious symbols. And they were saying, that when they were editing it later, they told me, I should put a warning on this, because we tell you what's in some of the different recordings so you can find them when you do searches on our websites. He says, be ready for a tongue lashing. Evidently, I was hot that day. But as many as I love, I rebuke. And you're not seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The kingdom of God is for the living. You need to be attending to the weightier matters. You need to be attending to the daily ministration. You need to be tithing regularly to the daily ministration and picking ministers who will help take care of the needy of your society and build a network and the resources to do that, because you're running out of time. You're going to need that in spades. Now, God's working on it for those who are not workers of iniquity. God's working on it. He's gathering people together who have resources. And those resources stay, for the most part, in the hands of the individuals within the network, in their purse and in their control. Now, they have to contribute something so that, you know, there's blood in the system flowing through the veins. People say, well, why can't I just help out this individual over here? Just send him the money. Why do I have to give it to my minister first? Because you won't have the union and discipline. You won't have the organization. We talked about, you know, the fire down in Weed, and how the community sent a truck down and it ended up 50 miles away from where the stuff was needed. And ended up getting dumped in a warehouse where none of the people who needed it could even get to it. Now, the truck we sent down went right to a church and started fixing meals. And if we had your regular support in the network, if everybody in the Living Network were regularly giving 10% of their produce for the year on a regular basis, we could have given 10 times that amount. We could have had people on the scene in a mobile ministry, coordinating with people in a network that we already have, what we call our extended network. We'd be calling the churches in Christmas Valley and in Fort Rock, where we know these people. And we would be saying, we got a truck going down. It'll come through at such and such a time. And we could have had a truck every day supplying the needs of the people in Weed after the fire. And we could have taken it to churches who would have cooked that food. We could have done videos of it, put it up on YouTube, and you will see how the kingdom works. Now, we did go down there, and we did have a presence, but it was based on the few that actually support this ministry that is actually preaching the real gospel of the kingdom. It is not based on the hundreds of people that are on email groups and think they're a part of the Living Network. It's the few. The laborers are few. Now, everybody can't pick up stakes and go down there. When there were fires broke out down in Sacramento area, we had a place to go. If they got out of hand, we could have had people down there in hours providing and administering to the needs of those people and showing the people how the structure of the government of God works. Because it works on Skid Row. It'll work in England. It will work in Sweden. It will work in South America. It will work wherever people gather according to the name of Christ, the character of Christ. That's just the way it is. It works for those who work at it. Networking works for those who work at networking. The early church was a network of the faithful. And back to what I mentioned earlier in the previous show about bishops and bishoprics, that is what the bishop does. He helps that network complete itself. And there are layers of these bishops. There's a thing called archbishop today, which comes from archbishop, but there is no really archbishops in the true church. Archbishops in the true church. There are bishops of bishops of bishops, but they're not archae. They are servants, diaconuses. In other words, 10 families get together, pick a minister. Those ministers get together with 9 other ministers, and they form a congregation of ministers, and they pick a minister, and that minister is called a bishop. He's going to help them keep themselves organized and connected, so that when there is disaster in their community that they cannot help or overcome or handle, they're connected in a community, a broader community, that loves them as much as they love themselves, and they come to their aid. And that's what they call the tens, hundreds, and thousands, used in Germany, used in Sweden, used in Italy, used in Great Britain, used in France. It was used even in early America. How do you think they were able to win the American Revolution? Where do you think Minutemen came from? The tens, hundreds, and thousands. Another essential item of history that has just eviscerated itself from the modern history books. You have to go back years to find a history book that mentions this critical way in which the people governed themselves. So back to this idea of civil power. Was Christ's government a civil government? Absolutely. Did the priests and ministers of that government have civil power over the people to make laws for the people? To dictate doctrines and dogmas? No. So where was the civil power of the people? In the hands of the people. Those 5 things that were to be included in your constitutions. If you were to reject God enough to actually elect somebody who could exercise authority and be your commander, your ruler, your king, your president, your prime minister, who exercises authority with executive power over you. Not executive power over the government, but actually executive power over you. Casting the money changers out, Christ was exercising the executive power of the office of the king and overturned the tables of the money changers. He turned over the tables of the money changers. He turned the tables over to someone else, not to those money changers. He didn't pick the new money changers. That was to be done on Pentecost, like it usually is. That's what Pentecost was. It was a gathering of ministers of the tens, hundreds, and thousands, and sometimes with the people, gathering together at Jerusalem, or wherever the tabernacle was set up originally, and picking the porters of the temple, money changers, porters, same guys. Because they're the ones that are going to redirect the funds that come in through the tithing of tens, hundreds, and thousands. Now, many of those tithings were already used up down on the local level. But 1/10 of the tithing that the minister received was to go up to the next minister and the next minister. And some tithings were specifically for the support of the minister, but some tithings were peace offerings and offerings for the poor. There were other tithings. And they were to go up and finance the special needs of communities that were overwhelmed by disaster and the extra expenses of running a nation and keeping that network alive, that network bound by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. This was what the ministers of ministers of ministers were doing, keeping the whole nation a nation, which is why Jesus is explaining to the men who he appointed the kingdom to. Remember, he's going to take it away from these other guys, give it to this group. And he gave it to the little flock. And the little flock would give it to others. And this is how the church was to operate from Christ, because it was established by Christ. But not to exercise authority, but to exercise service. They have no power to tax you. This is the form of government where people take care of the daily ministration, the welfare of society through faith, hope, and charity. If you don't do it through that, you'll end up doing it through men who exercise authority, and they will have the civil power over you, because the greatest destroyers of freedoms are the granters of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. They can only keep granting those gifts, gratuities, and benefits if somebody gives them first. In the kingdom of God, you must choose to give. In the kingdoms of the world, the organized systems and constitutional orders of men, they will force you to give. And this is the difference. This is what John the Baptist says was the difference. This is what Jesus says was the difference. This is what Paul says was the difference. But in your churches, they never go there. They don't talk about that. As a matter of fact, you want to know if you should join the church? Dress up like somebody who's on, Skid Row, and go down there and ask them if they will help you. If they send you to the government, you can walk away. If they send you to the men who exercise authority, then walk away, because they're not the government of Christ. They're not following the ways of Christ, and they're not coming in the name of Christ. They're not saying they will save you. They were saying the Sauters of the world will save you. The word Sauter means savior. Augustus means savior. Sauter of Rome. Who do you pray to? We pray to Caesar. We swear by the genius of Caesar. Christians died because they wouldn't pray to Caesar for their benefits. They took care of the benefits amongst themselves. This is why they were being persecuted. Jealousy and envy. They outlawed private religion. Christ was a private religion established by Christ. A religion, a way in which to take care of the needy of your society. You don't have that clue. Who's preaching that besides me? But yet that's what they preached. To take care of one another. Not to covet one another's goods through men who exercise authority one over the other. So you gather together, you join the living network, you form congregations of record, and you invest in the kingdom of God, and you do it as wisely as you can, pick the ministers who are giving the most to build the enclaves and even seminaries to teach the new ministers, not to go out and tickle the ears of the people, but go out and preach the gospel of the kingdom and start organizing the people so that the resources of the kingdom are in the hands of every family and the fathers and mothers of those families. And everyone is connected through a network of faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty, so that when the systems of the world collapse, you will have an alternative in place, because the rapture bus isn't going to take you anywhere to be safe. Now, I just said that. I'm going to back up. Don't do it because you want to be saved. Do it because you want to save others. And this is why I don't talk about all the bad things that are coming all the time, because then all I'm going to get is afraidy cats who are scared to death that they're going to be destroyed in the cataclysms and the destruction that is coming. And so they gather together and you have a whole congregation full of cowards. You need a whole congregation full of people with the character of Christ who are willing to face death out of love for one another. That's the trick. Find those people. And they're ready to give today. We'll be back in a moment.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hishollychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hishollychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hishollychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom, and we're talking about kings and rulers, and you should be the ruler of yourself if you are willing to follow the ways of Christ. You should be the king in your own house if you are willing to follow diligently the ways of Christ. If you are not, you should be under tribute. You should be forced by the rulers of the world to support them. And you will probably become partakers of their iniquity because you will not follow the ways of Christ. You see, you've gone out of the presence of God and chosen to follow the ways of the gods, small g gods, of the world. And you still want to be free. I understand that. But you can kiss your freedom goodbye because that's not the spirit that will control your destiny. Because you are not willing to walk in the ways of the Spirit of Christ. You see, Christ didn't come to set the slothful free. He came to set those who would repent free. He didn't come to set the selfish free. He came to set those who would be unselfish free. He didn't come to set the unrighteous free. He came that you might be saved, if you will seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So anyway, on the network, I just sent out an email just before the show began and notified everybody that the show was going to begin. We had a little bit of technical difficulty in the first show, but we may be able to iron those out, those sudden disruptions in the way in which we broadcast the show. But the message is going to get through one way or the other. It may not get through to you, even if you get to hear the whole program or the whole series of programs. We have all kinds of series of programs on symbols and of course, now a lot of people are going to go want to listen to the show on symbols because they're going to want to know what, you know, the secret information about symbols because they, you know, it's like prophecy. People always want to know prophecy because I want to know what's going to happen because that's about power. You know, knowledge is power. But the real power is the knowledge of God, which is you only obtain through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lists us where it will, and it lists us with those who will walk in the ways of God. Walk the walk, not just talk the talk. That means you have to invest in the kingdom of God. You have to spend energy, time, maybe money, in support of the gospel of the kingdom. You get to choose where you do this, and we're not centralizing that support. We're decentralizing it because you need to create real relationships with real people on the ground where you live as close as possible and start developing that network. But you do need to support the bigger effort, which will make itself manifest so that we can demonstrate the willingness and the righteousness of the ways of God. In other words, you have to cast your bread upon the waters, not just put it in a little depository where it's right next to your house. You have to let go of your sacrifices. Cast them out there in faith that God's Spirit is at work in the world today through the hearts and minds of the people who will seek his righteousness. And then we can start reaching out and going from house to house, being overseers so that we can point out when ministers are corrupt. And this was a big problem in Israel. Ministers were corrupt. And because of their court system, the ministers were influencing the acquittals of the court in a corrupt way. And they thought they needed a king. It was the wrong way to go. There was a way in which they could have corrected this problem without getting a king. But it was easier, quicker, faster, better, unless they thought so, if we just get a king and he does it for us. And that's why, from way back in the beginning, David had the power to fire the money changers, the porters of the temple. And Christ could do that. That is his executive power, to do that. He could say, this minister is corrupt. He is stealing more than the clip that he has a right to. We just put up a page at preparingyou.com on money changers. And you can go there and read that. Find out what the money changers were really doing. That you had to pay this tax now because you had signed up with Herod's social security system. And this is where he was getting all his money, as well as the other means by which he would get money. And he was putting some in the treasury they called Corbin and some in the treasury that they called the royal treasury. And the money changers were a part of that process, but they got to take a portion of it. How much do you think they were going to take that week in the month of Adar? It would be like our month of April. Quite a bit. We're talking millions of bucks here. And Jesus came in and fired them. In other words, took a string whip, you know, like you see in the hands of the Pharaoh, in the statues of Tutankhamun. You see this string whip? What's that string whip for? Throw it over his shoulder and say, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired. These symbols they used to express their authority to fire. That's what the king was. He had the executive power to say, you can't be a minister of this government. Now, the way the kingdom's set up, you could decide that down there with your brethren, your neighbors. And you could say, if my minister, who picks the minister that comes above him, who picks the minister who comes above him, because it's a government of service, my minister is picking this guy, and this guy is picking this guy, and this guy is picking this guy, and he lets somebody off the hook that should have done righteousness. And so if you're going to pick him, and he's going to pick him, and he's going to pick him, I'm not going to pick you. That was too much work. You had to care about people a long ways off. And you had to show up at meetings to find out what was going on. You had to listen to the complaints, the people about injustice. And, you know, I just want to go sun myself or watch the game or whatever. And so they got slothful in the ways of God. Freedom's not easy. Liberty under God's not easy. It's a job. It has a burden. Its burden in the long run is light. But you guys all chose, oh, let's just elect a leader and he'll make things right. You know, he'll pay our bills and he'll guarantee our welfare and he'll do this and we'll get free education, free health care. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. He's just promising more and more every day. I'll rub your right ear, I'll rub your left ear, I'll rub both ears at the same time. Just keep giving me the power. And so you did. But they're not firing the money changers. They're sicking the money changers on you. And it's your fault. Because you've been slothful in the ways of Christ. Everybody wants to be free, but they don't want to gather together because they don't value the freedom of their neighbor as much as they value their own. Which is why you're in bondage today. Why they were in bondage in Judea at the time. Why Israel had a king at all. But when Christ came king, he would not exercise authority. You know, the guy's saying, you know, put me on your right side and put me on your left side. And he says, it's not mine to give. Whose is it to give? It's God's to give. How does God give it? He writes upon the hearts and minds of the people seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And they say, I hear there's corruption here. And you pick the minister who picked the minister who picked the minister who's corrupt. You tell your minister, we know that man's corrupt, and we believe he's corrupt, and we don't like it that our minister has picked you, and you have picked that minister, and you straighten it out from the bottom up. Then the civil power of the government remains in the hands of the people. But if you want to elect men who exercise authority and create constitutions, where men will be elected to make laws for you, and you want to limit those power of the men, you need to write a constitution with those five things that we talked about before. in Deuteronomy. Because they list them off. And your priest is supposed to read them every day to your leader. Did you know that the Constitution of the United States only has one of those five things in it? Of those five things that were to be included in the Constitution, they only put one. And that is that your leader should not be a foreigner. But we didn't follow the ways of Christ, the ways of God. We haven't been doing that for years. The Christian churches are in apostasy. They're not going to see the truth of God's gospel because they haven't taken the time to invest their lives into taking care of the needy of their society by faith, hope, and charity. They have chosen to follow the ways of Herod and Pharisees and Nimrod and Lamech and Cain and Sodom and Gomorrah and force the contributions of their neighbor to provide them with their free benefits. They live by force. They live by the sword. The modern Christian lives by the sword. He does not live by faith, hope, and charity. He does not provide his daily ministration by faith, hope, and charity. He does not practice pure religion. His religion is not just spotted by the world. It's almost entirely funded by the world and those men who exercise authority one over the other. You can't be farther from the truth. Now, if you need more corroboration of what I'm saying, read the books, Thy Kingdom Comes. And if you want to understand some of that, then go read Covenants of the Gods. If you want to know about constitutions, go read Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions. If you want to read them for free, they're online for free. The whole book's PDF. You don't have to, you know, pay me a dollar to download it or anything. You just download it and read it. But if you're like the guy who wants to have shallow view of religion, don't read them. Don't learn history. Don't learn the meaning of words. Don't find out what Paul meant by Romans 13. You want to know what that is? Go read Higher Liberty. And that book could be twice as thick. But I figure if you haven't figured it out by the end of that book, it's probably a waste of time to tell you. Once we start seeing, and this is a new leaf that we've been focusing on more. Once you start seeing and gathering together in congregation, we're so busy here. I'm so far behind the eight ball in getting things done. That God has said, limit those use help. We have groups of ministers who are learning the ways. Learning to follow the ways. Some of them should be thinned out probably. Or have need of more repentance. But some of them are really seeking the truth and coming to a fuller grasp and understanding. And soon the spiritual power of that, some of it is already being manifested. But more of it will be manifested in the individuals. And they will help you in your local congregations. If you want to form a congregation, we can maybe get somebody to your community without putting a burden on you to help you form those congregations. Then you start gathering together in some of our meetings like the one we've had in Missouri and the ones we have out here, the Burning Bush Festivals, and you start getting to know one another. And you pick the money changers. You see, that's why Jesus could not appoint the men to sit on his left side and his right side, because God appoints them through the hearts and minds of the individuals who gather in his character, in his name. God will write upon your hearts and minds, say, pick this man. And you will pick him, and then he will pick this man, and he will pick that man. And you will have the money changers at the top, able to move funds left and right and right and left, wherever the disasters start to take place first, so that we help them out and do it efficiently so they know they only need this much. And what you'll hear from the local churches is they'll say, this will actually be a problem. They'll say, we don't need any more. We got it covered. Don't send us any more. Save what you have in reserve for the next community because we will carry this burden. Like they said in the Peloponnesian Wars, we are our walls. We are our FEMA. We are our faith emergency ministry, our auxiliary. We got this. And miraculously, Miraculously, these small communities will get it, and it will not become a burden on the overall network. There will be a burden, but it will be light enough that we can bear it. But if you don't want to do that, if you want to continue to go to the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority, you can wait for the Federal Emergency Management Agency to show up and help you. I'm sure they'll come with all the love that's in their hearts, and they will be a blessing on you. You might call it a curse, but that's all a matter of a point of view, isn't it? Are you going to depend on the ways of Christ? Are you going to depend on the ways of God? If you're going to depend on the ways of God, then you have to gather together with the intent of saving others. And that's why you form a congregation, not to get your ears tickled, not to feel good. I've had people who's trying to form congregations and they're not getting that good feeling that they got from the other churches. So they say, well, we need more fellowship meetings. That's what we're looking for, is fellowship. Be wary of those looking for fellowship. They're looking to be supported emotionally from the outside. Beware of people who have to listen to music all the time and have sounds in their head all the time and read all the time and forever studying. Really coming to the knowledge of Christ is in the doing of the word, being of service, and being still. You know, when you do a job, you know, I've actually known this for a long time, but I've had recent reminders. When you're doing a job, cutting wood, whatever, you know, I was trying to think of the name of the movie. I can't even remember it, but Stigmata or something. They supposedly uncovered these secret writings, and then in it, it says, the kingdom of God is cut a piece of wood. And the guys who made the movie don't get the message there. They're all big into the fire and devils and demons and all this kind of stuff, and I don't recommend the movie, but the fact is the kingdom is found in cutting a piece of wood. It's something as simple as that. Cutting wood for somebody else. But what it is that when you're doing a job, whatever it is, no matter how menial it seems to be, you're actually doing that job. You're there doing that job. You're in the moment doing that job, cutting that piece of wood, aware of the wood, the saw, the sawdust, the ground around you, the wind in the trees. You're in the moment, in spirit and in truth. And then you become aware of your environment. You're unaware of 90% of your environment. I should actually say about 99% of your environment. Because your environment is both the seen and the unseen, the spiritual realms. You're unaware of the spiritual realms. You don't see that going on. Some of the people that are in our network now are seeing that because they were called to that, because of certain circumstances in their life, they've been exposed to it. They have to be careful constantly of their interpretation, because that can create great confusion when you see more than one realm. You know, you can be distracted by that. But see, that's why people need things like music and TV going all the time, is they need that distraction, because they're actually hiding from something. They don't want to see everything. If you want to be saved, you must be willing to see the whole truth, mostly about yourselves. Because when you're able to see the whole truth about yourself, you open up your heart to receive the guidance of God. I'm always amazed at the poor choice of character manifested in so many people, including myself. You know, I wanted to see more people who would follow this way, so much so that I made allowances for some people who were clearly not. Now, some of that is, it is my job to give them an opportunity. to follow the ways of Christ. And I'm willing to go those extra miles to give them every opportunity. But if they continue in the deceptive ways of the world, the greedy ways of the world, you know, eventually I have to dust off my shoes. And the fact is that that time of dusting off with this individual or that individual seems to be shortening up as time grows shorter and shorter. People need to gather together. I don't care if you gather together because you like Brother Gregory. That isn't going to get you, you know, that and a dollar and a quarter will get you a cup of coffee. I don't know, what does coffee go for? I guess a couple bucks maybe. I never buy coffee. But you have to gather together out of a love for others. And not just a social club in your own little congregation. If there is nobody this week to help in your congregation, then you should send the money up the chain to the next level. You know, whatever it is you have to give. You know, we have some people that gather together, and occasionally, you know, certain people, they seem to always want to give away what they couldn't sell at the garage sale. You know, there's passages in the Bible about that. That's the thing about a spiritual kingdom made manifest in the physical world, is that your spirit is going to mold your position in the world. And if you're selfish, you will be drawing to you selfish people. If you are generous and aware in the moment, then you will be drawing to yourself people who are generous and aware in the moment. If you want to intellectually possess the kingdom and study and study and study so you can quote every little thing just perfectly, that's got to be vanity. I'm sorry, that's just got to be vanity. And that's not what you need. You need humility. So anyway, we have a new article, Money Changers. We have a new page, Audio Space Q&A. And we sent that out on the network, the link to that. We have another article, Dialectic, which is actually an older article that was revisited. And Walled Camps. I talk about the walled-in camp that Moses called the Levites out of. People says, where does it talk about walled camp and intellectual property? Is there such a thing as intellectual property? There's a great deal of confusion about that. And that confusion comes from an unwillingness to see certain truths about yourself. And one of the major truths about yourself that you're not willing to see is the fact that you hate the system. That is not our job, to hate the system. Now, I'm talking about aggressive war against resistance of the system. You need to be seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and that will defeat the system. You don't get into the kingdom because you hate the world. You get into the kingdom because you love the ways of God. And the ways of God included the right to property, the right to dominion. Your neighbor has a right to his labor, and to sell it in any form or contractual agreement he wishes to release it to the world. And if he releases it in a certain way, you must respect that way and even defend it. And if you did, then we wouldn't need kings, because you would all be kings. But until then, peace on your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.